Bickley and Murata mornings from 6 to 10.
Bickley and Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
Good morning and welcome.
To the world.
Dan Bickley.
Sports, man. Sports.
Vince Murata.
It's a power-packed morning zoo. Are you kidding me?
Bickley and Murata.
Spectacular.
This is the greatest show.
Bickley and Murata.
I love this show. This is the greatest show in the history of radio.
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to a Football Monday in the Valley, and what a Monday it is going to be in the NFL. The Raiders and the Bengals are in first place. The Steelers and the Chiefs are in last place. Locally, we have a 7-0 football team, a scandal reportedly brewing around the Suns, a Thursday night showdown with the Packers, and if the Seahawks lose tonight, Vinny, the Cardinals will have a 5-game lead on Seattle, a 4.5-game lead on the 49ers, and we're not even out of October yet.
There's a lot going on.
How about
it's
that?
It's like that scene on the pitcher's mound in Bull Durham. We're dealing with a lot of bleep here.
Yeah, we really, really are. Wow. Where to begin with all of that, huh?
Thesis statement for the week. The Cardinals' time, if it was happening, if it is indeed a fact, the Cardinals' time as a 7-0 team flying under the radar is effectively over this
week. That's a good point. If they beat the Packers on Thursday, can't nobody disrespect them. Everybody will have to put respect on their
well,
name.
Well, maybe. I mean, maybe they would move into the top five on Gary Gramling's power rankings.
Pretty certain of that. Could you imagine, though, being a football fan in Pittsburgh and looking up and seeing the Bengals and the Browns atop the division?
The Bengals are for real. That was a throttling they handed out yesterday.
Doesn't that just show you everything you need to know about the NFL? You can think an organization is terrible from top to bottom, rotting from the head all the way down. You insert one great quarterback into the mix, and I'm not calling Joe Burrow great just yet, but you throw a really elite kind of guy in the mix. Mm-hmm. Look what happens. Look what's happening right here in front of us. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's all very exciting.
All right, Jarrett, you ready to start the show?
Yes, I am.
Was that rhetorical?
Yeah, I don't. Should I? Okay.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Yeah, we start the Splash, but the Cardinals opening things up. They played their worst quarter of the year in the first. They fell behind the woeful Houston Texans 5-0, but when the alarm went off, Arizona ripped off 31 straight points to win 31-5. Scoregami action, first time that's ever happened in NFL history. They moved their record to 7-0 on the season. Kyler Murray threw for 261 yards and 3 touchdowns. Cardinals defense allowed only 160 yards and held the Texans out of the end zone, despite playing once again without Chandler Jones, Corey Peters, and Zach Allen. Head coach Cliff Kingsbury was back. He passed COVID protocols on Sunday morning, so he doesn't miss a second consecutive game. Cardinals 7-0 for the first time since 1974 when they were in St. Louis. That team, however, did not finish very well. They went 3-4 over their last 7 games. They finished 10-4 and got blown out by the Vikings in their first playoff game. But that doesn't matter. That was all those years ago. Cardinals have a short week. Thursday night game against Aaron Rodgers and the 6-1 Packers looming. The Packers beat Washington 24-10 with Rodgers throwing 3 touchdown passes. And it might have been closer or a different result if Taylor Heinicke knew how to get into the end zone.
Ouch.
What a weird
too
play
soon.
That was.
Yeah, no doubt. Too soon, right?
It was three quarters, basically, Bick, of what you expected. Cardinals versus Texans.
No, I agree.
First quarter was a little disconcerting.
Yeah, no, the first quarter was dreadful, and it leads you to believe that, you know, their two worst games have been against the two worst teams. But they got control of the game, and the Texans just posed no threat to them offensively. Yep. By the way, with that game, the Cardinals now have the number one defense in the NFL.
Wow. Look at that.
Yep.
San Francisco 49ers and Indianapolis Colts played in a torrential downpour in Santa Clara. The game was every bit as sloppy as you'd expect, but the Colts won 30-18, pushing the 49ers record down to 2-4 on the season. The other NFC West team in action on primetime, the Seattle Seahawks, also 2-4. They play tonight. They host the New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football. That game kicks off at 5:15. The Rams started out pretty similarly to the Cardinals against the Detroit Lions. They fell behind early, but were able to outlast the Lions 28-19, so they keep the pressure on the Cardinals at 6-1. It was a weird weekend in the NFL, too. Blowout weekend. Six games decided by 20 or more points yesterday alone. The Patriots had the biggest blowout of the weekend. They pasted the Jets 54-13, most points scored by any team this year. Elsewhere, Tom Brady became the first player ever to reach 600 career touchdown passes. Tampa Bay beat up on the Bears 38-3. Brady had four touchdown passes on the day, three of those going to Mike Evans. Weird weekend, too, for the Phoenix Suns. It started out Friday after we got off the air. I took a nap. Mm-hmm. I pretty much just...
Oh, so you woke up to all that?
I woke up to all these text messages. Yeah. What do you know? What's going... Hold on, let me right. Run the sleep out of my eyes first.
Uh-huh.
A looming story coming from ESPN about the inner workings, the workplace culture, if you will, of the Phoenix Suns with the focus on owner Robert Sarver. Now, the story hasn't come out yet, and it was very strange to be teased by somebody who doesn't even work for ESPN.
Very.
So, it's been described as very damning stuff. Apparently 50 people, employees, former employees, people around the organization were interviewed for this particular piece. But so, listen, it's just kind of hanging there right now.
This has been brewing because Flex from New Jersey, who seems to be given a lot of credibility, he's got a direct line in the organization. He tweeted out he's known this was coming. I talked to people months ago who said, people sniffing around the owner. Do you know anything about this? I'm like, no. This is going to be very interesting to see what ends up being delivered after all of this stuff floating around.
We don't know if it's coming out today, tomorrow. It was only said early this week would be the story. The Suns also had a strange weekend on the court. They blew out the Los Angeles Lakers on Friday night and then followed that up by getting their doors blown off by the Portland Trailblazers on Saturday night.
Yeah, that was I did not see that game against the Blazers coming. But, they've got to reconfigure their rotation. A couple new guys, I'm not panicking about it.
No, it'll take a little bit of time still.
I really don't like what I'm seeing from DA early on, but I guess that's to be expected, too. This whole basketball team, it looks like they needed another 3 or 4 weeks off. Vacation time. Vacation. Look, shut up, Jarrett.
It looks like a hangover right now.
Kind of.
Yeah. And if anybody should know about hangover. What?
Yeah.
Coyotes still looking for their first win on the season. They start a 6-game road trip in Florida against the Panthers. Face off 4:00. Pregame coverage starts at 3:30. You can hear it all on ESPN 620 AM and 98.7 FM HD2. College football, Georgia still atop the AP Top 25, although the Bulldogs had the weekend off. Cincinnati still number 2. Alabama jumps over Oklahoma to number 3.
Okay, wait a minute. Did Oklahoma lose this weekend?
No, they won.
They didn't lose this weekend.
They look like absolute garbage for most of the game.
But they didn't lose? You're telling me they did not lose?
No.
And Alabama jumped them?
That is correct.
Is anything in this world not bought and paid for? Is there anything not corrupt
in
this country?
No.
Oklahoma might be undefeated, but Alabama has a quality loss against an unranked team.
They really do. Well, that team became ranked after they beat them. That's how much respect they get.
You know, listen, Alabama was struggling with Tennessee for a while over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What a joke.
But Tennessee's
what
not Kansas.
A joke. You're right.
Oklahoma falls to 4th, Ohio State's 5th. Oregon held on for a win over UCLA. The Ducks move up to 7th, and they remain the only Pac-12 team in this week's standings. I'll say this. I've watched the Pac-10, Pac-12 for a long time. I am convinced it is awful and quite possibly the worst Power 5 conference in the history of college football.
Wow.
Yes.
Whoa.
It's terrible.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, that's strong. So you're not buying this?
ASU had the weekend off and enjoyed picking up ground on everybody. The whole division lost.
So you're not buying this? If Oregon runs the table, they're going to the playoff.
If they do, they'll get beat by 50 points with their cute little speckled uniforms.
Yeah, yeah.
World Series gets underway in Houston on Tuesday with the Astros in the Fall Classic for the third time in the last 5 years. They'll take on the Atlanta Braves, who are the National League champs for the first time since 99.
Boring.
Valdez against Morton, the first game pitching matchup. And the St. Louis Cardinals have a new manager. Of course, they fired Mike Schilt because three playoff appearances and three winning seasons wasn't enough. Yeah. So they hire 35-year-old Oliver Marmol, who was the bench coach under Schilt. 35 years old, becomes the youngest manager in baseball.
Wow.
There you go. There's your splash for Monday, October 25th, the day where the Arizona Cardinals still have a zero in the loss column.
Unbelievable.
They get there with a 31-5 win over the Houston Texans. We'll dive into it next. It's Big Red Monday here on Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Murata.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you got, you know, Vance Joseph, Jeff Rogers, great staff, man. They were tremendous. I just showed up and went down the sheet and did that today. So they did all the work.
Cliff Kingsbury back on the sidelines yesterday, found out Sunday morning that second negative test actually occurred. So I think he said it was about 6:30 a.m. He got the go-ahead to coach his team. What a weird stream of events that must have been.
Right. Especially, and he said after the game, he referred to this multiple times, that he felt disconnected, that he felt funky, that he's never been that disconnected during a football game in his life. And it's because he's been away from the team for a week, maybe even more. And as a result, suddenly, okay, you're clear to go. And then he just shows up cold. Hey, guys, remember me? And yeah, it was a very rough start. I don't think it was the greatest performance by Cliff Kingsbury either. I'm not going to get goofy about it. But I think that in terms of, you know, some of the play calling, I think it drifted back into areas where we should not be as a football team. But at the same time, he's also responsible for this great chemistry on this football team. And you can't deny it. And you felt more of it yesterday as that game kind of got going in the right direction. So
it did.
A lot of interesting stuff that happened yesterday.
And we talked about it last week leading into the game because, again, when we got off the air at 10 a.m. on Friday morning, Cliff Kingsbury was still not with the team. He was still in the COVID protocols. But we had discussed, hey, if you're going to go through this, and you got through it in the first week with the win over Cleveland, which everybody was impressed by, but if you were going to be without your head coach and your whole system and game planning mechanism is disturbed, there's no better team to be playing than the Houston Texans.
Well,
and it started out slow, but, you know, things returned to normal in the second quarter of that game.
What was interesting was by the time the fourth quarter arrived, the football game was in a position on the scoreboard that you hoped it would be going into the week, a blowout and an opportunity to get your starters off the field. How they got to that point was less than ideal. Kyler Murray took a lot of shots. Twice he was down on the field and not moving, and I thought, oh, no. Once he's off in the medical tent, he showed a lot of toughness continuing to play yesterday.
He took four sacks, and they weren't the normal sacks where it's just like, oh, he ran out of bounds 1 yard before the thing. Or
he was taking shots.
He fell down, you know.
The two sacks, the one where the Houston defender got called
Malik
for the
Collins.
Penalty, Malik Collins.
Yeah.
That was a shot.
Wicked.
And the second one from Grenard, he laid Kyler Murray out. That might be the biggest hit Kyler Murray has taken as a pro quarterback.
I think you're right.
And that's one of the things to look with a short week. Kyler Murray talked about that after the game.
No, I mean, it's part of the game. You know, they got after us pretty good. Hats off to them. You know, we knew they, you know, they played hard. Athletic team, talented team. Just, you know, obviously some things may have not gone their way so far this season, but credit to them. Like I said, they came out and played hard, got after us. But yeah, I take some shots today. You know, it's obviously we got to be better, but like I said, more credit to them.
Yeah,
you bring up the really important thing. Neither Kyler Murray or Cliff Kingsbury after the game indicated that anything he was feeling was problematic going forward.
Mm-hmm.
But how he feels this morning, I think, is very important. Now, a lot of these guys, back in the day, football players, they get done playing on a Sunday. They go home. They crack open a bottle of bourbon. They go to sleep. And they'd wake up and hopefully kind of creakily, wearily get themselves out of bed.
That's not the way anymore.
No.
That's when players made 50 grand a year.
That's right. Players now, as we learned yesterday, they're going home after games and getting massages done. Mm-hmm. Massages done. Yeah.
Epsom salt baths.
Right.
Marcus Golden talked about.
The Therapod technology.
Old days, you'd smoke a cigarette, eat a steak, drink some whiskey.
Right? Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah, right. So, but I do hope that I hope that everything that they said yesterday is accurate, because it would be a shame if he's marginalized for the Packers based on a real iffy offensive line performance from the Cardinals yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, here's Cliff Kingsbury talking about Kyler Murray on taking so much in terms of physical punishment.
We didn't protect as well as we would have liked, but he had a good look in his eye the entire game, kept stepping up and making plays and ran around, and definitely some adverse conditions that he battled through, and I think that's just part of his progression. We've seen it this year. When things aren't going great, he steps up and finds a way.
Look, there's been enough for a very lengthy highlight reel in Kyler Murray's three-year career with the Cardinals. But I mentioned it. The hit that he took from Grenard, I think, might have been the hardest hit he took.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kyler Murray also had his best throw as a pro quarterback yesterday.
The A.J. Green throw?
The third and 23 throw to A.J. Green was on a rope. It was one of those plays.
I don't know if it was on a rope. I thought it had a lot of elevation to it.
It wasn't much of a loft.
I'm not going to argue with this. It was exquisite. It was an incredible throw.
It was one of those throws that when it happened, I couldn't help but react to it. I was like, damn, what a throw.
Yeah.
That was and the job by A.J. Green to find a little gap between those two defenders and keep his feet in bounds and catch that at its high point. Just an unbelievable play.
Not only that, the way Kyler Murray is staring at the other side of the field to buy some time with that safety who got over to the play late because of that. Yes, I agree with you. That throw was unbelievable. There was a throw to DeAndre Hopkins when he was running all over the place and he found him.
Yep.
There was a throw to Zach Ertz on the touchdown pass that was just lofted perfectly. Yeah, there was a moment yesterday when he short-hopped DeAndre Hopkins and I thought, uh-oh. Shoulder issues. We got a problem here. And then he got it back. That was such a forceful, gorgeous throw.
Yeah, here was Murray himself on that throw to A.J. Green.
It was a third and like 24, something like that. Backed up. Honestly, it was cover two, just trying to see Kirk took the near safety. A.J., you know, told him to haul ass up sideline just because, you know, put him in a bind and safety. He turned towards C. Kirk. So at that point, you know, I just had to let it go. He made a great catch.
It was a tremendous play.
Yeah, it was.
The play design on the touchdown pass to DeAndre Hopkins was fantastic. There was the running game again. Chase Edmonds and James Conner have been two of the unsung heroes. Great to see Zach Ertz contribute as much as he did immediately. How about that for a nugget? The first player in NFL history to score touchdowns in consecutive NFL weeks for two different teams.
Yes.
He scored a touchdown on Thursday night for the Eagles, and in his first game, he scores the longest touchdown of his career for the Cardinals.
Yes, yeah. And did the Eagles score another touchdown after Zach Ertz scored? Because I had also heard the stat was the first player to score consecutive touchdowns for two different teams. Is that possible?
Well, he didn't have the first one for the Cardinals yesterday.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
That couldn't have been.
And I think he scored the first one for the Eagles in that game.
Yeah, that was quite a stat, wasn't it?
Yeah, you don't even think about stuff like that.
It's hard to believe. I would have thought maybe. I thought maybe it was like the first tight end to do this, but I guess it was the first player.
But, I mean, you also have to consider over the course of trades in the NFL, how many players are eligible receivers, how many of them actually play in their first game with the new team. The schedule actually worked out, and Zach Ertz and others talked about that yesterday, was since it was Thursday. And he got on a plane and he joined his team in Cleveland, was on the sidelines and, in his own words, immersed himself in the playbook. Smart guy was able to pick up a lot of the offense and was getting quizzed by his wife, and it paid dividends to only not really have Max Williams for or you know, an impact tight end for 1 week, people have to be looking at that particular play.
Yeah.
And to hear Zach Ertz say after the game, there was so much green grass. This is a guy who's caught a lot of passes, covered a lot of yards, mm-hmm. and had a lot of touchdowns in his career, and that was his first impression. There's so much room. It's scary.
Well, there was some good, some bad, some not so much. There was the fumble that wasn't a fumble for a moment, mm-hmm. the play at the goal line. There was the miscommunication with Kyler Murray on what could have been another touchdown pass. Then there's the larger question, because Zach Ertz is not the blocker that Max Williams is. Mm-hmm. And you really hope this bears watching. I'm not making any conclusions now that inserting a pass, a catch first tight end isn't going to negatively affect the physicality of this offense. That's just something to watch. I'm really glad Zach Ertz is here. Don't get me wrong. But yesterday, the offensive line was not the same. And now maybe that was just Josh Jones. Maybe it was Max Garcia sailing snaps again. Maybe everything will be fine when Rodney Hudson comes back.
Yeah.
But it just bears watching. That's all.
I think more so the latter than Zach Ertz insertion. But something to work on certainly for Thursday. Pack a bag and join the 2030 Club of Phoenix for the 12th annual Phoenix Suitcase Party. On Friday, November 5th, the night will be filled with food, drinks, live music, auctions, and a chance to win a trip on a private plane to and from Vegas and San Diego. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com for details and your chance to win tickets. Coming up next, 26-point win for the Cardinals. We'll relive it through highlights. Big Red reacts next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on this Big Red Monday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata Mornings. Big Red reacts. Reaction to yesterday's Cardinals game.
Boy, you're talking about fun to watch.
Brought to you by Alaska Federal Credit Union.
Yeah, for the first time all season, the Cardinals lost a coin flip. They actually got the ball first after the Texans elected to defer. On their first possession, first two plays, Kyler Murray to A.J. Green for 13 yards, Kyler Murray to Zach Ertz for 11 yards, and you're thinking, this is going to be a cakewalk and a half, isn't it? Well, things bogged down. Cardinals punted. Later in the first quarter, after another three and out by the Cardinals, in which they faced a 3rd and 36, by the way, on their third possession, first down from their own 2 yard line, and it was the Texans via their defense that got on the board first.
No score, 3:06 to play in the first. Snap to Murray, and he's going to run it himself, in trouble in the end zone, dives to get out, and the ball came soaring out of there, and he did not get out. It's a safety. Houston has 2 points, and Kyler's down.
Rolling on the field in safety.
And Kyler Murray is flat on his back. He lost the ball. It got kicked out of there in a very strange way.
Yeah, it was a weird play call. It was a weird ruling. I thought Kyler Murray got the ball out of the end zone. They missed a penalty on the Texans. It was a strange play all the way around, but when it was all over, it was a 2-0 lead the Texans. Into the second quarter, on the first play of the second quarter, the Texans would pad their lead, a 53-yard field goal by Kaimi Fairbairn, and it was 5-0. That's when the alarm went off for the Arizona Cardinals. They would embark on a 14-play, 75-yard drive, and facing third and goal from the Texans 1, that passing duo of Murray and Hopkins hooked up.
Third and goal from the 1 yard line. Snap to Murray. He keeps it. Looks to throw. Sidearms it over the middle. Caught for a touchdown by DeAndre Hopkins. It was just a short throw by Kyler Murray. Put a little touch on that as he dropped the arm angle and hit the former Texan DeAndre Hopkins to give the Cardinals a 6-5 lead.
Yeah, Hopkins' 7th touchdown of the year has already surpassed what he had last year.
Wow.
Through 7 games.
Wow.
And I don't know if you saw it yesterday. There was a great sign. Somebody just held up a sign that says, better catch by eye.
Outstanding. After the game, Cliff Kingsbury said, look, DeAndre Hopkins, if he gets a touchdown pass in the course of the game, he's happy. He's good. Nothing. Give him one touchdown pass, he's good.
Yeah, because the numbers are way down other than the touchdown catches.
And it almost feels like they're doing that consciously, like they get it to him in the first quarter or the first half. And then they sort of spread it around the rest of the game.
His genius is, I don't think I've ever seen a wide receiver lighter on their feet than that guy. He can just stop like that.
It's true. It doesn't look like he's doing it that quickly
either. It doesn't, yeah.
7-5 after Prater's extra point. Texans take over on their own 25. They failed to convert on a 3rd and 12 from their 23, but Byron Murphy got called for a taunting penalty after he got in the face of Danny Amendola. That gave the Texans a first down. Two plays later from the Cardinals' 43-yard line, the defense made something happen.
At the throw goes Mills, steps up, gets hit, and he fumbles the ball as he gets sacked at midfield. Marcus Golden chopped it out. Lucky Fotu looks like he's got the ball. The officials haven't signaled yet. It is Cardinal ball. Marcus Golden comes out of there with it, and he was the guy that forced the fumble as well.
Marcus Golden might have the most appropriate nickname for any player that's ever played any sport ever, the Junkyard Dog. That's how he plays. He's been phenomenal the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, Marcus Golden, Isaiah Simmons were the two guys that just popped to me on defense yesterday. That got me real excited about this team.
Yep, Cardinals take over near midfield later on. They couldn't do much. They were facing a 3rd and 23 from the Texans' 45-yard line, and that's when Kyler laser beam throw to A.J. Green.
Shotgun snap to Kyler Murray, drops back to throw. Standing in the pocket, now throws a deep ball near side in traffic. It's caught by A.J. Green at the 5, and he's knocked out of bounds at the 4-yard line. What a throw by Kyler Murray on 3rd and 24. They pick up 42 yards.
I think the Cardinals are going to set some sort of record for 3rd and 20-plus conversions.
That's
this,
a great point. Good
year.
Call. They are. Kyler Murray is the most dangerous player on 3rd and long and on 4th down. They're 5 for 5 on 4th downs this mm-hmm. year, and they've got a handful of those 3rd and long plays.
That set the Cardinals up at the 4-yard line. They lost a yard on 1st down. 2nd and goal from the 5. Murray strikes again.
2nd and goal on the 5. 2 receivers to the right. Shotgun set for Kyler Murray. Takes the snap. And fakes the run, drops back to throw. Now flushed out of the pocket, rolls right, throws right. Caught in the end zone. It's a touchdown, and it's Christian Kirk. He dropped one earlier, but hung on to that one. 2nd touchdown pass for Murray.
Prater's extra point would make it 14-5 right before halftime, and this happens every week. Matt Prater gets a field goal attempt at least right before halftime every week, right? He kicked a 31-yarder with 9 seconds to go. 17-5 at the break. That would take us into the 3rd quarter. Texans, they did nothing on their first possession. Cardinals took over at their own 12-yard line. 1st and 10 near midfield, and Zach Ertz made his presence felt.
1st down on the 47. Drops back to throw. Lobs it far side. Ertz with the catch at the 30. Loose at the 20. Far side 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Zach Ertz, 47 yards. Becomes the first player ever to have touchdown catches in consecutive games for 2 different teams.
Extra point would make it 24-5, 47 yards, also the longest touchdown. And this was pointed out by a couple of our listeners on Twitter yesterday. Didn't John Marks from Philadelphia call Zach Ertz No Yak Zach?
He did.
Good way to erase that in your first game.
How about that,
team.
Huh?
Texans went 3 and out on their next series. Cardinals took over, and for the first time in a while, Kyler Murray threw a pick.
Empty set, shotgun snap. Murray, 3-step drop, throws over the middle, and it's picked off at the 45-yard line by Johnson. Crosses midfield into Cardinal territory at the 45, where he's tackled.
Yeah, so the Texans would take over, and as they did with most of their possessions, did nothing with it. That would take us into the 4th quarter, first possession of the Cardinals. In the 4th quarter, they took over at their own 37, drove right down the field, and James Connors had a nose for the end zone. He proved it again.
3 receivers to the right of Murray. Connor in the backfield. Shotgun snap to Kyler. Hands off to Connor straight ahead. Got the 1st down and more at the 15. Cuts left to the 10. Connor to the 5, and Connor's into the end zone for the Cardinal touchdown. It's 30-5 Arizona.
Extra point would make it 31-5, and then it was all over, but the shouting and, oh yeah, victory formation again.
Colt McCoy takes a knee. This one's over. The Cardinals are 7-0, heading into a showdown with the Packers on Thursday Night Football here at State Farm Stadium. 31-5, the Cardinals handle the Houston Texans.
It's a great Dave Pasch on the calls here on this Big Red Reacts. Another 26-point win for the Cardinals. And, yeah, they are 7-0 moving to Thursday night against Green Bay. And we'll have a lot on yesterday's game and a lot looking ahead to Thursday's game. But we got to focus as well on what was a weird weekend for the Phoenix Suns starting on Friday, continued on the court on Saturday. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta.
Bickley and Marotta Mornings.
This report is a monster. It's as bad as you think it might be for this to be for us to be having this conversation. It's worse. When I was told about some of the things that are going to surface in this report, including sexual harassment, it is jaw dropping. And there's just no way that with all of these people on the record, men and women, that he's going to be able to survive this in my eyes.
That is the voice of Jordan Schultz, who was on with Burns and Gambo Friday afternoon talking about a report that is yet to be published, that will be published, concerning the Phoenix Suns workplace culture with a focus on the owner, Robert Sarver. Jordan Schultz got this ball rolling on Friday with a tweet that said, breaking, the NBA is preparing for a massive story accusing Suns owner Robert Sarver of racism, sexism, and sexual harassment in a series of incidents, sources say. With enough evidence to support such claims, there's a real chance the league would forcibly remove Sarver. That led to statements from James Jones, from Jason Rowley, the president of the Suns, and from Robert Sarver himself in kind of scramble mode. And I was... You know, obviously the heart of it is very clear cut that this story is coming out, but everything that transpired on Friday was very confusing to me.
Well, yes, and it seemed to come from a weird place, and you can start there. What is Jordan Schultz doing in possession of the meat of this expose, if you will?
And he didn't write the story. He doesn't work for the outlet that is publishing
right.
this story.
That is right. But he's also not a nobody in the business. And so obviously he's fairly confident in what he's been told. And so here you go. I've heard all sorts of things about that. And clearly it's a situation in which it's best to wait and not engage in too much speculation about what this report might mean. But for the fact that people who are aware of at least maybe just the meat and potatoes of it all, for them to say it's so bad that the NBA may make Robert Sarver sell the team, that's really kind of put everybody in a heightened state of alert here. Because the NBA is not the NFL. The NBA, because of the Donald Sterling precedent, it has shown that they will do this. Now, the NFL will, too. I mean, Jerry Richardson is one case, but we're also dealing simultaneously with the investigation into the culture of the Washington football team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So there's that, and the NFL doesn't seem to be all that inclined in transparency there. So this will be interesting to see if this report matches up with the billing, if you will.
The way it's been described.
Yeah,
monster, jaw-dropping, damning. Those are all words that were used in that interview with Burns and Gambo by Jordan Schultz on Friday.
Because if you remember, this is not completely dissimilar to the Dallas Mavericks thing from a couple of years ago where they were investigating and there was all this stuff that wound up not really
not
having
really.
Much impact. There were some people fired and some people... You know, rearrange and stuff, but with Mark Cuban, and didn't really get to Mark Cuban.
Yeah, there was change in the front office in Dallas, obviously, but Jerry, you're right. I mean, the effect that those reports had was pretty minimal in the grand scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing to consider, and this might be putting the cart before the horse, is Mark Cuban's stature, reputation. Among other NBA owners.
Yep.
Look, there's been all kinds of stories over the years about Robert Sarver's place among NBA owners. But like you, Bick, I'm just waiting to see what this includes.
Right.
And it put the Suns in a weird spot over the weekend, too. A team that, you know, is just starting their season and coming off a magical run to the NBA Finals. Monty Williams talked about it, was asked about it pregame before the Lakers game on Friday.
Me? Man, I'm good. I get to coach. I'm in the NBA. I'm not going to talk about the situation. I'm concerned about winning tonight's game. concerned about playing with pace and cutting our turnovers down and all that. And yet I'm not, you know, I understand what's going on and things that are out there, but I'm not going to comment about it until I have time to process a lot of information and get everything I need to know about the situation. But I'm good, man. Don't ever worry about me. And our team is good. Our guys get to hoop, and that's what we say all the time. We get to hoop.
And obviously there was a firestorm of reaction social media-wise from Suns fans and people who have an interest in the team. And the people, again, bracing for, and that seems to be the phrase that everybody's using, bracing for the worst here.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that seem to think that pinning this story and getting Robert Sarver out of ownership is a good thing for the Suns. It's not necessarily a good thing. This is a bad situation right now.
Yeah, no. Well, I would agree with that. Yes. I do think it, along those lines, I do think that given Robert Sarver's history and given the fact that he chose not to pay DeAndre Ayton, it kind of plays a role in this, because had Robert Sarver just opened up his wallet and paid everybody, I think the fans might react a little more sympathetically than what we saw over the course of the weekend. There were people also confused. Why is Robert Sarver and the Suns issuing a lengthy denial over a report that has yet to see the light of the day? I've talked to a lot of people about this, and there are PR experts I spoke with that said this is brilliant PR. I've talked to people who have said just the opposite. I will say this for people who don't know. If you're a news outlet and you're about to publish this kind of expose, you've got to go piece by piece and ask Robert Sarver to respond, to give him, you know, equal time, if you will. And so Robert Sarver obviously has been presented with this piece. And so there's been some confusion about that. He knows pretty much what is in this story.
Mm-hmm.
So the question becomes now, you know, what does it look like? I've been told this is much bigger than just disgruntled Earl Watson, disgruntled Ryan McDonough, that kind of stuff. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
But you're right. This is not good for the basketball team.
It's not. And I'm not tying the two together, because they went out Friday night and they absolutely dismantled the Lakers. And, you know, the Lakers tried really hard to make that look respectable again by keeping all of their stars in the game late. Mm-hmm. A 10-point game was not indicative. But Saturday night, if it's possible to be tired through three games of a basketball season, the Suns certainly looked that way. They got blown out by the Portland Trailblazers, which led to Devin Booker saying this on Friday.
I mean, it's such a long season.
Saturday.
You know, I feel like we've been tested. I think last season was good for us, and you know, not to hit the panic button and just understand how long the season is and when we get it rolling, you know, how good we are.
Yeah, he also talked about, you know, the back-to-backs exposing a weakness that they have on the defensive side of the floor.
It's a combination of a few things. I think when you get beat like that, it's obviously more than one thing that went wrong. But saying anything from the beginning, just thinking of defense, and guarding better, I think, you know, we're not on a string completely right now. You can blame the first back-to-back of the season, or you can go and make the corrections that we need to make. And, you know, I think that's what we're going to do. So we got a few days off now. I think getting the first back-to-back under our belt is good for us and, you know, getting us up to speed a little bit.
Yeah, and face it, too. I mean, regardless of the time in the season, mm-hmm. when you play three games and four nights in three different cities against three teams that were playoff teams, mm-hmm. you might look a little bit out of sorts, and the Suns certainly did. Now they come home, they start a homestand. We'll see what they look like with a little time off.
Opening night, I think they showed up to play basketball. They did not have their edge. They ran into an opponent in the Nuggets that did. They rebounded with that edge against the Lakers, and then after winning that game, I think they kind of slid back again. And I think it speaks to the hangover. I think it speaks to the short off season. It speaks to the rotational pieces not fully where they need to be. And again, I mentioned earlier, I really don't like what I've seen from DA so far. And I know a lot of people look at it like, see, that's why you don't pay him. And people like me say, well, maybe you've taken the fight out of him, I don't know. It's early. This team is very, very talented, but this is difficult. You were where the Suns were, and you're looking now at a season. The playoffs are a million miles away.
Yeah, it's tough. That's one of the tough realities of the NBA. They'll get back at it Wednesday night against Sacramento. Attention, Cardinals fans, we are issuing a code red all week as the Cheeseheads from the north invade State Farm Stadium for Thursday night football. Text red to 620-620. Listen for your name during the 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and 9 o'clock hours every day this week until the game to win two tickets to see the Cardinals take on the Packers. That's red, R-E-D, to 620-620. We'll be calling out a name pretty soon for our first potential code red winner. Coming up next, it was a big red win for the Arizona Cardinals yesterday over the Texans. As we do on Mondays, we'll open up the phone lines, get your thoughts next. It's 602-260-9870, the phone number. Your call straight ahead on this Big Red Monday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.